Yesterday, it was one of the most important occurrence of the year for the Vaishnavas, for the Hare Krishna. And it's one of the most, one of the four most important feasts in the year, which is called Ram Navami. In India today, they call it Ram Naomi. It's the same thing. Ram Navami means the day of the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. Who is Lord Ramachandra? Ramachandra is one of the most important incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Who is Lord Vishnu? Lord Vishnu is one of Krishna's expansions. Lord Ramachandra is a divine personality. He's an incarnation of God. So it's very important to know what he did and what he said and how he behaved. Lord Ramachandra is especially important for us because he behaved in a very exemplary way. We can understand a lot on how a Vaishnava should behave by studying Lord Rama's story, which I'm going to tell today only for the first part. The birth, because the Ramayan, which is the title of the book who tells the story of Lord Ram, is a big book. It's a 24,000 shlokas, which it makes the book quite big book. And there are many stories. Krishna comes in this world many times. But rarely the story of the life of these incarnations has attracted the heart and the mind of people, especially in India, as Lord Rama, because this story is particularly beautiful. If you go to India, everybody knows the Ramayana, everybody knows Lord Rama. Krishna also, of course, everybody knows. But after Krishna and Rama, basically there are no other incarnations who has attracted the fantasy and the love and devotion as much as Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. So it's a very beautiful story that I know particularly well because I wrote a book, my first book, is the Ramayana in my native language, is Italian. I wrote many books in my life. The Ramayana was the first. So I spent 2 years of my life reading and studying about the 10 different editions of the Ramayana before writing it. Because when you write, you can say something wrong when you speak. But when you write, you cannot. Because after you cannot say, no, I didn't mean that. My English is not perfect, so I could have said something wrong. There was a noise, so I was deconcentrated. Is that these things. But when you write, you have no excuses. Because black on white, it doesn't go away. So the story of Lord Ram begins with the narration of a very important sage, which is the author of the Ramayana. His name is Valmiki. Valmiki did not invent a story. He told the story while it was happening. Actually, when he finished the Ramayana, the story was not finished yet, because the day Valmiki finished the Ramayana, the day the Lord Ram came back to Ayodhya. So whatever is happened after, he wrote it after, in a special section of the Ramayana. But the original Ramayana, the one who was finished, the one who, as I will tell you the story now, was told by Lord Rama's two sons, Kush and Lav, that story finishes with the Lord Ram coming back to Ayodhya. So one day, Valmiki Muni, who was a great sage, he was living in the forest, and he was very pure personality. He received the visit of his spiritual master, his guru. His guru's name was Narada Muni. So when the guru arrives, it's a reason for auspiciousness, and everybody has to take full advantage of this arrival. So he paid obeisances, he offered him honors and a place to sit, some water, all possible respects. And this is important because there is no such a thing as formalities are not important, what it matters is the substance. This is not true. This is false philosophy. The real philosophy is that the form of formality is the form of the substance, which means if you have substance, you also behaved in the right way. And the someone who has no substance, he wants to find an excuse for not having a substance, so he says, okay, that's just formality, it's not important. But it's very important, and you find in our scriptures and in the specific, in the story of Valmiki Muni receiving Narada Muni, the way that Valmiki received the spiritual master. So the two sages, they sat down and they spoke. And when two devotees, when two pure Vaishnavas meet, what they talk about? They talk about absolute truth. And the Narada Muni was asking to Valmiki Muni, what do you want to know? Put me some question. This is what the disciple should do. When he meets the spiritual master, he should put questions, because the spiritual master wants to talk about Krishna, but if you don't put questions, he may not speak. So Valmiki Muni put his questions, which is a very important question, and he said, who is the most important personality of our time? Who is the most respected personality? The most elevated personality of our time? And Narada Muni did not think about it. He was very sure. And he went right to the point. And he said one name. And he said, Lord Ram, the king of Ayodhya. And he said, you want to listen to the story? And Valmiki Muni said, absolutely, I want to listen to the story. And when all Valmiki's disciples heard that Narada Muni was about to speak the Ramayana, the story, they immediately flocked around. They sat down, offering obeisances to the Guru and Paramaguru, and started to listen very attentively. Very attentively. The ears, the mind, they were all one in what they were hearing. And Valmiki Muni and his disciples, they listened very attentively to the story. They were fascinated. It was such a beautiful story. They said, never such a beautiful story was told in this planet. So Valmiki Muni was not able to forget, and for many years after that he heard the Ramayana from Narada Muni, he was meditating and meditating on the story he heard. One day, Valmiki was going for ablutions. Ablutions are like disciplines, just like we wake up in the morning and we take a bath and we put a tilak and we put nice fresh clothes, etc. So these are ablutions. Basically, they are a series of disciplines. He was with his one of his most important disciples, whose name was Bharadvaj. He was going to the Tamasa River. The Tamasa River, you call it a river who goes to the main river. How you call it that? Tributary. The Tamasa River is a tributary of the Ganga, Ganges River. So they went there. It was a sacred, it's a holy river. And they stayed there, and they were meditating, etc. So Valmiki saw two birds on a branch of a tree. And he was like you know, and they were making love, or they were happy together. So at a certain point, one arrow struck the male or the pair or the birds. He fell dead, and there was a very excruciating scene to see the female crying and wanting to die. She didn't even have the strength to fly away, and she was risking to be killed herself. But she didn't want to leave his dear. So Valmiki Muni saw this this scene, and he understood that there was a hunter, and he was around hunting for birds and animals. So he got very angry, and he launched a very heavy curse against, not only against the hunter, but against all hunters in the history of the planet, that they would be always thought as the second, as a second-class persons, with no fame, no respect, that nobody will ever respect hunters. So this was a very serious curse that Valmiki Muni launched against the hunter. The hunter ran away. He was scared that Valmiki would give him another curse. Still angry, but there was something that caught his attention, was the way he had launched this curse. The way he put the words was like poetry. He had some rhyme and meters. It was like a song could have been sung in music. So he said, "What did I say and how I said this? How I said it? Oh, this is a very special. Maybe the fate wanted a new way of expression. And yes, I will write my book using this particular expressive way." And he said, "Because I was so sorry, and I was so pained by this the scene, and the birds was in pain, and I was in pain, and everybody was in pain. The pain in Sanskrit is called shoka. Then this form of expression will be called shloka, and shloka is today is known as the way most of our Vedic books are written." So at that time, the shloka expression was born. This story is millions of years old. It's not yesterday, it's millions of years. So what happened is that he was meditating on the new form of expression when Brahma arrived. Who is Brahma? Brahma is the first human being of the universe. The universe was created, the first human being who came, sent by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, was Brahma. Now, Brahma arrived in Valmiki Muni's ashram, and he told him, "You think that this particular way of expression was casual, but it was not. I put it in your mind and your words because I want, from now on, the Vedic scriptures and history, like Puranas and Upanishads, be written in this way. So it's coming from me. The shloka, meter, is coming from me. So now your mission is to write the Ramayana." And Ram said, and Valmiki said, "What do they know? I never saw. I even saw Lord Ram. How can I tell the story?" And he said, "Don't worry, I will tell you the story. And whatever you don't know, you will see it in meditation." So Brahma gave full power to Valmiki Muni to envision the story. And he was writing the story why it was happening at the same time. So it was like it was in meditation, in yoga meditation, it was seeing Lord Ram while he was doing, while he was saying things, whatever it happened, he was seeing, and he was writing it down. As I said, the story finished. The story finished the day Lord Ram arrived to Ayodhya. But this is a story that some of you know and some of you don't know. But now we will tell the story only up to the point of Lord Ram's birth. So Valmiki started his story describing the city where Lord Ram appeared, which is called Ayodhya. Ayodhya is still existing in India. It's a beautiful place. You should go to Ayodhya. Whoever goes to India, you should go to. These are people that I've been looking for days, and now they call me. Ayodhya, at that time, today is a beautiful city, but at that time it was unbelievably beautiful. It was like, was almost, was about 160 miles long, if I don't remember incorrectly the numbers, and about 60 miles large. So it's a huge city. And its architecture, its opulence was just unbelievable. It was one of the most beautiful cities ever built up in this planet. His king was called Dasharath. And Dasharath was a very powerful and pious king. He had three wives. His first wife was called Kaushalya. The second one was called Sumitra. And the third one, Kaushalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. So three wives and a very powerful king, but no sons. There are no sons. And Dasharath was growing old. He was already quite a mature man. And he was the last of the Ikshvaku line. The Ikshvaku line is a very prestigious line of kings, so it should not be interrupted. So he met, he called a big meeting with sages and ministers and everything, and he said, we need sons, because I'm going to be old, I cannot rule forever, I will die, and then our line will be extinguished. That cannot be tolerated. We had to do something about it. And they had a big discussion between brahmanas and sages, etc. There was one particular minister that Dasharath had, whose name was Sumantra. Sumantra was one of the most wise person in the kingdom. He was very respected by the king and by everyone. So Sumantra said that there is something very interesting in the Purana that you should know. Actually, your name is recorded in the Purana. Millions of years ago, Sanat Kumara, who is the Brahma's son, spoke about you. So can you imagine, you know, one of us finds out that 1 million years ago, Sanat Kumara, the son of Brahma, says, okay, one day Manunath will come in San Antonio. It would be quite a thing. So this is basically what happened. And Dasharath was very surprised by this. And he said, what did he say about me? And Sumantra told the story. And this story was about a great sage whose name was Kashyapa. Kashyapa had a son whose name was Vibhandaka. Vibhandaka's son name was Rishyashringa. And so there was a king who was a friend of Dasharath, whose name was Lomapada, who has been very, very impious. He killed, this is a long story, I'm not going to tell the story of Lomapada, but this is a very fascinating story too, which is found in the Mahabharata and also in Vishnu Purana, the sad story of Lomapada. Anyway, this king was so impious that the whole of his kingdom was under attack by the fate. There was a drought, the citizens did not have nothing to eat. Was a terrible period for the whole place. his sages, the core sages, Sellomapada, that the drought will terminate the day that Kashyapa's grandson, Rishyasringa, will come in your kingdom. So how to attract a sage, a brahmachari, a young brahmachari who never came in a city, a pure brahmachari, who doesn't want to have anything to do with a city, with, you know, society, and etc. How do you make him come? He wasn't interested. So Lomapada, he was a practical man, so he sent to him a group of beautiful young ladies, and Rishyasringa came to Lomapada's place, and the drought finished. So Sumantra said to Dasharath that after telling the story of how Lomapada could terminate the drought in his kingdom, said, and Lomapada will have a friend, a very close friend, whose name will be Dasharath. And the Dasharath will also have a problem of different nature, and his problem will be that he will be childless. So he will solve his problem the day that he will make a big Ashwamedha Yajna, but the same Rishyasringa will have to officiate it, be the main brahmanas, otherwise will not work. So at that time, Rishyasringa found his place in the kingdom. He got married with Lomapada's daughter, a beautiful young Shanta was her name, Lomapada's daughter. So Rishyasringa understood the needs of King Dasharath, and he accepted to come, and a big, big Ashwamedha Yajna was organized. I don't know if any of you went to see a Vedic sacrifice. Today it's not really the same thing that before, of course. The whole mantra, they have several places, and fires, and people chanting Vedic mantras. It's so beautiful. Just to hear it, you feel like you are in Vaikuntha. And this sacrifice lasted something like 1 year. It was unbelievable. Fire never put off, and never stopping chanting Vedic mantras, etc., etc., with the idea of giving King Dasharath children. So at the same time, while Dasharath was striving to have a son, there was a big problem, not only while the, you know, we have spoken about little problem of Dasharath and not having children, etc., but in the whole universe there was a very, very big problem, much bigger than any childless king or anything else, which was the presence at that time of a very big Rakshasa, a demon, whose name was Ravana. This demon, the story of this demon, it's very beautiful also. It is recorded and told in the sixth chapter. The Ramayana is divided in six chapters. The last chapter is called Uttarakanda. Uttara means final. The Uttarakanda is very large. So I cannot tell you now the story of Ravana, but it's a very interesting story. At this time, Ravana was harassing everybody. It was very difficult to live. All the brahmanas killed, and cows killed, and devas defeated. They couldn't administrate properly the universal phenomenon like the sun or like the rain. All these things, there were disturbances everywhere. So the devas went to Brahma and they said, what can we do? We had to do something for this demon. And Brahma said that it's impossible. We cannot do anything against him because he took blessings from me and from Shiva. And the main blessing is that he could not be killed by anyone, only by man. And there is no man but his power versus him. That's why he asked this blessing. I want to be eternal, he asked Brahma. And Brahma said, it's impossible, even me, I'm not eternal. So you cannot be eternal. I cannot give you something I don't have. And Ravana thought and he said, well, then okay, I want to be killed by a man. That means he thought in his mind that no man ever will come will be able to challenge him. So powerful was Ravana. Ravana was so strong that he could lift with one hand entire mountains. That was his power, his physical power. And Brahma said, also, not even the devas can defeat him. Even ourselves, we cannot defeat him. Brahma said, I will go to Vishnu and talk to him. And then we'll see what he says. And Vishnu understood that there was a need for an incarnation, and he agreed to, with his other Vishnu avatars, he said, okay, we will come, but you have to help us. You have to help us. So all the devas will have to come, even before us. You will have to come in the world to help us. But not as a man, because he's... There was one story how Ravana was cursed to be defeated because of a woman and because of monkeys. There was a big story. We don't have time to say them all. But Vishnu asked devas to appear in a particular race of monkeys and bears. So the devas started to come and take birth in a special race of monkeys called Vanaras. The king of these Vanaras' name was Vali at that time. After he was killed, then his brother Sugriva became the king. But this story will be happening quite after the birth of Rama. Vishnu prepared to prepare himself to appear with Lakshmi, his eternal companion, and he sent one deva that emerged from the fire of the sacrifice. You can imagine, huge fires. It's not that the small fire that we do for initiation or for this kind. Huge fires, very, very high flames. From these flames came a divine personality with a jar in his hand. And inside there was one nectar that in the Ramayana is called payas. It's a kind of nectar. In India also they sell you the payas. It's not the real payas, but they call it like this. And he gave this jar to the king, and he said, if your wives will drink this, then they will become pregnant. So Dasharatha had this divine recipient in the hand. He didn't know what to do because he had three wives. So he thought a little bit, and Brahma came to aid and within his mind, and he suggested him what to do, to give a particular quantity of this payas according to the power of the personality who will take birth in the womb of that particular wife. Then he gave the jar to his first wife. The first wife was Kaushalya. And he said to Kaushalya, drink half of this. So she drank half. Then he gave the jar to the second wife, whose name was Sumitra. And he said to Sumitra, drink half of the half. She drank. So half of the half remained. And then the jar was given to Kaikeyi, which is the third wife. And he said, you drink half of whatever is remained. and Kaikeya drank. Kaikeyi drank, and whatever is left was given back to the second wife, Sumitra. And Sumitra drank, and the payas finished. So in this way, from Kaushalya, Lord Ram appeared. From the second wife, Sumitra, Lakshman, who is the product of the half of the half of the payas was left, took birth. Why the half of the half of the half of the half is Shatrughna, which is so they took birth as twins. So Lakshman and Shatrughna, they were twins, but from the divine point of view, they have a different quantity of power because of this mechanism. And then the third wife, who had drunk the half of the half of the half, then the Bharata appeared, a son of Kaikeyi. So Lord Ram, Lord Vishnu, appeared from Kaushalya, and Bharata, and who actually took birth second after Ram. First Ram took birth, and then Bharata took birth, the son of Kaikeyi, and then Lakshman and Shatrughna appeared, the son of Sumitra. So this is the line, because during the story you will see why this was important, because Kaikeyi, which is the mother of Bharata, wanted to get rid of Ram, because Bharata had the rise to the throne after Ram. And this was why Kaikeyi asked whatever he asked to Dasharat during the story. So now Dasharat was very happy about having now four extremely beautiful, powerful, intelligent, all quality that you can imagine, these four boys they had. And they grew up very quickly. And at a certain point, when they became more or less around 14 years old, the story, the Ramayana, actually began from the arrival of a very great sage, whose name was Vishwamitra, who arrived at Lord Rama's court. And there begins the second part of the story. Hare Krishna. This is the story of Lord Rama's birth, according to Valmiki Ramayana. In India, there are two Ramayans, very famous. One, Tulsidas. One, the Valmiki, is the one we accept as bona fide, while the Tulsidas Ramayana, we don't accept as entirely bona fide. So, if there is any question in Hare Krishna, don't make the question, okay, tell me the rest of the story. This question cannot be accepted. Or I can do it, but you know, you have to be here at least until 4 o'clock tomorrow morning.
So I got a question for you, like, you know, it was a wonderful story. The thing is, actually I hear a different version, maybe correct me if I'm wrong. You mentioned then, you know, that Narada Maharishi's guru came and, you know, he started speaking about this now. But actually what I heard is, like, you know, Valmiki was earlier was a thief, right, in the forest. Then, like, you know, he was doing all that, you know, robbing and stuff like that. Then Narada came and, you know, then he asked him, you know, you are doing so much of sinful activities and stuff like that. Why you are doing this one? I'm doing to, you know, take care of my family. Then he told him, Narada told him, just go and tell them, like, you know, you're doing so much of sinful things. Well, they would share these sinful things. Then he went and asked them, they said, no, we don't, you know, take off the sins, only all we need, you know, you have to maintain them as a husband. So he got the realization, then he came back and he told the same thing to Narada Maharishi. Then Narada told, you know, then he just, you know, initiated him and, you know, he told about the Rama, but since he was doing so much of sinful activities, and, you know, he couldn't even pronounce the Rama, and then, you know, he started telling, then he just reverted it you know, tell the Mara. So then he started telling the Mara, Mara, Mara. Then he became a Rama. And slowly then, you know, after he got the realization, started meditating, that's how he wrote that Rama, and that's what I hear, you know.
Yes.
But you said, you know, if I understand correctly, he was telling, he already, you know, Narada was telling about the story and stuff like that. How do you think?
No, the two stories are complementary, are both bona fide. I started from the moment that Valmiki was already a pure devotee.
Oh.
It's a bona fide, the story that Valmiki Muni was a thief, and much more than that. Unfortunately, he was a very sinful personality. It is true also the story of the Ram and Mar, no? That Mara is a name of death.
Death, exactly.
So he was so sinful that he couldn't say Ram. So he was saying the contrary. And by saying Mara, 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 and started to say Ram. So in this way he was saved. So he started to meditate on the name Ram, but the Valmiki Ramayan does not say that he started to write the Ramayan because of that. So this is just a piece of the story which told after, because the Valmiki Ramayan starts in this way, as I said. But then during the story there was a point when Ram, during the years he was staying in the forest, he asked about Valmiki Muni, and this piece of the story that you were saying was told to Ram. So he knew the story, but I was trying to be chronological, starting to tell the story exactly as Valmiki Ramayan is said, as the second recorded in the Valmiki Ramayan.
Thanks. So actually, to begin with, he was a thief. Even the Valmiki Ramayana also says in the beginning he was a thief. Then, like,
he was a thief.
He got the realization, then he got the knowledge from the Narada Maharishi.
Yes, first he got purified.
He got purified.
And second, he got just like we become a devotee and we got initiation, and before we start doing services, there is some period of practice. Then we can, when we become purified, then the spiritual master gives us more responsibility, more service. So Valmiki Ramayan first was purified thanks to Narada Muni's mercy, and then he received from Narada the story of his natural deity, of Valmiki's natural deity, was Lord Ram. Although he knew the name Ram, but he didn't know the king Ram. Because Ram is a general name of Vishnu. There are several Vishnu Tattva living in Vaikuntha whose name is Ram. So he didn't know that the deity that he was worshipping was actually in the planet, in the form of a king, whose name was Lord Ram, and he was the son of Dasharath. So this knowledge came from Narada after. He became initiated, and when he was purified, thanks to the practice or the discipline that Narada ordered him to do.
I don't have a question, I just have a statement. Also, the appearance day of Lord Ram, Krishna Balaram, in Vrindavan was, this is when they were installed, on this day, 37 years ago. This is a very special day also for us in this time.
Are you sure it's not in the calendar? I didn't know that.
I'm sure.
It's in the calendar?
I heard that it's 37 years now. Can you elaborate on that?
Honestly, I cannot be precise because I didn't read the Tulsidas Ramayana, which is called Rama Manasa Charita. So, But I heard my spiritual master also, Srila Prabhupada, who made some comments about the Tulsidas, and also some other devotees who read it, that some parts of the Ramana Charita is actually not historical. He kind of put it he wanted to produce a literary piece, just like we can put the mantra in a different way, in music, because people like music, so do something, but the song may not be bona fide in the sense that it cannot be accepted by practitioners of the bhakti yoga, because it's not bona fide, it's not wrong, it's not bad. You know, we have punk music in our movement, and we have so many things that old man like me found for what is this, you know. I just don't like it, but it's not wrong. I like Midanga, Harmonium, and that's it. But it's not wrong, again. It's just a way to attract people. So I think that Tulsidas was trying to attract people by writing a non-historical, non-authentic, in all its parts, Ramayana, in such a way to attract people. And also, according to Srila Prabhupada, there is some tinge of impersonalism in the Tulsidas Ramayana. So these two things, the non-historicity, because Ramayana doesn't tell a story. It tells a real story that actually happened. So you have to be precise. The Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana, is precise in details. Exactly what Rama said, exactly what Rama did. This is so please, any more question? Because we have some more minutes to spend talking about Krishna. Remember that you don't need not to know something to make questions, because you never know how the devotee can answer. So it's just to, you know, to make conversation, transcendental conversation. Yes, go ahead.
To change the nectar.
Yes.
Thank you very much for this this course and this wonderful weekend. And it's nice to see you back. Sitting there, it's been a while.
Now I'm going to live again for more than 1 month. I'm going to Puerto Rico for service. I'll be back in the best scenario in 1 month.
Are you going to miss our rapture? Anyway, we are beggars, so beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, when I come back, I will bother you, disturb you again.
Okay, my question, I don't know if it's a question. We hear about Ravana, like, you know, he's a bad guy, but also a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And I hear, so, you know, knowing the story that he originally, you know, he is also a very special devotee of Lord Vishnu as well, originally. That's who he is. So, within my mind, you know, is it wrong to... seems like knowing the story, it will kind of eliminate his demoniac profile. I mean, although he is a demon number, I mean, first class. He's a first class demon as well, like in a league with Hiranyakashipu and others. But is it wrong to kind of give him that kind of credit, or is it better to just consider him intrinsically evil, you know, just evil to the core, or which one is attitude is better?
It was a funny story. We were in Gokul with a group of Go brothers of mine. We went to Gokul to visit Krishna Balaram, the building of his Nanda Maharaj before they moved to Nandagram. So just maybe 100 or 200 meters away from the building, there is a smaller building with Putana and Krishna sitting on her chest. So there were some devotees who were going around Putana and touching the feet of Putana. You know, because we were so accustomed to do this that we touch the feet of everybody. So, we do it mechanically, you know. So there's a murti, you know, and there is like, we touch Krishna, we touch Putana, and somebody says, you're touching Putana's feet, you know. So there was one discussion, we laughed and we had a very good time. You know, and having fun on the devotee was touching Putana's feet. The point is that we as devotees, we often have to act in two, three, four different ways or intellectual and mental dimension separated the one from the other. You know, just to make some example to make you understand what I'm saying, there are two things. One is called in our philosophy tattva, and another one is called rasa. What does it mean? It means, for instance, that from the tattva point of view, you know, all gurus are the same. You should worship all the gurus in the same way because they are gurus. Okay? But from the rasa point of view, your guru is better than the other. But you cannot say it, my guru is better than the other, because that means the other way is less than the other. You are making offenses. In other way, to eulogize your guru, you are making intrinsically offenses to the other one. And this cannot be accepted. It is unacceptable. So you should eulogize your guru without missing the respect to the other guru. So from the tattva point of view, they are all the same. From the rasa point of view, it's not the same, because that's your guru. That's in the heart. But you should be careful how to speak out your heart. For instance, when you speak about your guru, you say, Guru Maharaj. But you should not say to me, Guru Maharaj, because you're not my Guru Maharaj. You should say, my Guru Maharaj. When I say Srila Prabhupada, then it's the Guru everyone. Maybe the Guru, the Paramaguru, or whatever, but it's the Guru everyone. While your Guru is just your Guru. When you talk to me, you should give my Guru Maharaj. Or when you talk with a disciple of another Guru, you should also say, my Guru Maharaj. And when you talk about the Guru somebody, all these things are part of a world who exists in a different dimension at the same time. So coming to the point that you are specifically asking, we know who Ravana is. Okay? In our heart, in our mind, we know that Ravana is one of the three incarnations of Jaya. Jaya Vijaya, they were the two gate holder of the Vaikuntha, and they had the three incarnations in this world, and the first one was Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, the second one was Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and then they appeared during Krishna's time, so Shishupala and Dantavakra. They appeared again as Jagayan Madai during Lord Chaitanya's time. So on one part, we know in our heart that he was not a real demon, that he was a pure devotee playing a part. Okay? But when you preach, you cannot say it. Because if you say, oh, Ravana, Jai, Ravana ki Jai, and then we start to say, well, then raping women is okay, because Ravana was doing and all that. That's how he destroyed himself, by trying to rape one sage, one lady sage who lived in Himalaya, whose name was Vedavati. Who knows the story of the Vedavati? You know, a lot of pandits we have here. So Vedavati is making a very short story. It was a very important yogini living in the Himalaya, and she was very beautiful. And Ravana arrived, and he tried, and he was very attracted to her. And he tried to convince her to stay with him. She denied, because she was doing since she was an incarnation of Lakshmi, then she was doing great austerities to have Vishnu again as his husband and as her husband. Okay, so she totally refused the demon completely, but he tried to take her by force, and he caught hold of his hair, and then he said, she said, because I was touched by your, how you say, a word, a dirty hand, something, heavier.
Nasty touch.
She transformed her arm in a blade, and she cut her hairs to separate from Ravana. He said, because now I am without possibility of getting purified again by having been touched by a dirty person like you, then I will abandon the body, my body. And in the next body, I will do two things. First, I will cause your destruction. And the second, I will be reunited with my Lord Vishnu. And she appeared as Sita. And this is the story how Sita was born in this world. We had to follow the story, just like you cannot go to Lord Chaitanya and say you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the whole point of his coming here is to be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So although you are from the tattva point of view completely right, from the rasa point of view, you are committing an imperfection. You are disturbing Lord Chaitanya. In the same way, if you say, okay, but Ravana is, you know, is a pure devotee, is a, you know, it's an eternal thing, then you are disturbing the story. And this is wrong, because every story has its aim, has something that he wants to accomplish, and everyone and every personality has his explained a part. And when we speak about the Ramayana, we have to speak the Ramayana participating to the story. And Ravana in the Ramayana is a demon. So outwardly we say Ravana is a demon, inside we know who Ravana was.